second workshop, now that we've got the land relatively managed and we've taken 30 minutes and have turned it into 30 years and our tree crop is grown, and now it's time to figure out how much of that stuff can we use to get timber to build houses, or pulpwood to make paper. And what I have to do is have to send people in and have people with the knowledge of how to figure out how much volume, how many trees are in an area, and how many are usable. And the term for that is cruising. And we have today Mr. Lewis, and John's back, and Arthur Bailey from Bloodstown to talk with us now about a rather invisible kind of work. It's sort of, there's one of you and a lot of trees, and perhaps, Arthur, could you just explain a little bit, you know, what really cruising is?
Well, you go out in a forest or a 40-acre block of timber, 20-acre, it doesn't matter, and you determine how many cords is on that 40-acre block, and then you determine if you're going to clear cut or how many cords that you're going to take off of that stand of timber or take out of that stand of timber.
Okay.
And that's what I call cruising.
Okay. And is this something that you'd say go in and you just sort of count up the trees and sort of take a guess as to how wide they were? Do you have to use like particular tools of the trade that you need to use?
If you're plot cruising, or well, there's row counting. We row count, especially in planted pine stands. And plot cruising, you use a logger's tape, or we call it a distance tape, and get your plot radius. Use a diameter tape or a caliber to get your diameter of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And
we can now have a cruiser's fashion show here, because everybody has brought the tools of the trade, which are quite numerous. Let's see, John, why don't you talk a little bit about what you've got, and then we'll move on over to Don, and I think Don might have some different things.
Okay, well, there's certain instruments that you utilize in order to accurately measure the diameter of a tree, which is a measurement at 4.5 feet up the trunk of the tree that is equal to the diameter across the tree. Use generally a diameter tape to do this, and it's simply a tape that's wrapped around the tree and reads directly the diameter. And you also utilize a clinometer or different types of altimeters to measure the height of a tree. And what you do is you pace back from a tree. A pace is where you count your steps, or you can use another logger's tape and measure back from the tree. And you shoot with an instrument called a clinometer up towards the top of the tree.
You have the clinometer?
I got one.
I got a relative. Has a clinometer in it.
How do you figure out where you're going in the first place? Does somebody just say, I want you to go out, you know, to Loblolly Lane and take a right? Or how do you figure out where you're going?
Okay, most cruises nowadays are set up as plot cruises. In plot cruises, you draw on a map the different places you need to establish plots or sample points in the woods, and then you pace. By counting your steps, you know how far you step. I paced 12 times and I've gone at one chain distance, or 66 feet. Someone that's cruised for a while gets so ingrained with that, you just about go out to get your paper in the morning and you count your steps out. In fact, Jim Dosher once told me a good forester goes to the mall with his wife and he'll stop every two chains in the mall just automatically, because you usually cruise on a two-chain grid. But you get really comfortable and used to pacing distances out in the woods, and you utilize the compass in order to set out in a known direction. So that's probably the most important or the first instrument that you're liable to utilize is a type of compass. And most foresters use the Silver Ranger, which is has a mirror set up and a moving dial where you can shoot yourself in the direction that you would like to go. And you can both watch the compass at the same time through the mirror and also look with the other eye at the woods ahead so you know that you're going in the right direction.
What other kinds of tools can you use? What if you decide, you know, are there other tools to use to, say, figure out the diameters of trees or any of that?
There is a parcel of different tools that you utilize. There are diameter tapes that measure directly, once again, the diameter. You wrap it around the circumference of the tree, but it actually reads the diameter, which is a straight line across the tree. One of the more interesting tools one of these gentlemen may have theirs with you is an increment borer, which is utilized to bore into the tree and extract a core. And from that core, you can count the rings on the tree and age the tree and measure the growth rate of the tree and other interesting things like this. Do you have... Don, do you have
I didn't bring my increment borer. I thought you had an increment hammer.
We have a. This is actually a bark hammer, but it works just like an increment hammer. You jam it into the side of the tree with enough force, you can extract out. You pull it out, and you can extract out a sample core from inside the tree. And it doesn't hurt the tree because you're only taking a very small core of wood out. But it reveals the rings of the tree. The tree grows more quickly in the springtime and lays down what we call a spring wood. And later on in the summer and the fall, it grows at a slower rate. And the chemical composition of the wood changes, and it lays down a darker summer wood. And you can either count the light-colored rings or the dark-colored rings. And one ring is equal to 1 year tree growth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, of course, they have really perfected the science of dendrochronology or whatever the proper word is for it now, where they can... even take cores and lumber and estimate how old a building is by comparing it to a live tree that's old enough that has undergone these same fluctuations of growth with droughts showing up at different thicknesses of the rings and different traumatic climatic events or management events in the stand will increase or decrease the width of these growth rings. So that's probably one of the most interesting tools that we utilize.
Don, you have another instrument you use that requires also, it's a very interesting skill that requires eyesight, really maintaining and developing a good eye and a good sense, and you have another tool for that.
Yeah, okay. I brought with me, other than the instrument that have already been mentioned, basically when you're cruising timber, I like to try to simplify things in life, I guess. We adhere to what we call the KISS formula. KISS is keep it simple, stupid. So, but to determine the volume of a tree, you need to know basically two things about it. It's something about its roundness and something about the length or height. And there are a number of ways to do it with these various instruments that have been mentioned. And Arthur hasn't shown us yet. He brought some tree calipers with us, too. We've mentioned diameter tapes, which John mentioned. We have the loggers tapes, some of the new loggers tapes on the back side of them. The loggers tape is used primarily in this part of the world, anyhow, for determining distances from trees. You usually have what we call a horseshoe nail in the end of it. This is a brand-new refill, so I don't have my horseshoe nail on it yet, but you just stick the nail in the bark of the tree, and you can walk off the predetermined distance to use some of these height instruments from the tree. Okay, the other instrument that I brought with me is a rulloscope. It's an extremely handy instrument. It's a very very useful instrument. It'll do just about anything that you need done in the way of forest measurements. There's one major drawback. This little machine right here, this instrument, cost approximately $700 now for just one. But it's got, you can do almost all of the things that we mentioned here. You can even determine within a one-inch class diameters. You can determine, a very good use for it is to determine merchantable height cutoffs. Where are you going to cut the tree off for the products that you're going to use?
So you can use it as a dendrometer. You can use it as a hypsometer. Those are terms that mean diameter measuring instruments or height measuring instruments. It can even be used as a range in conjunction with range finding, with basal area, or what we call VPR, variable plot radius cruising, as opposed to the circular plot cruising that's been mentioned. So it's just a very handy instrument, but the drawback is that it is expensive.
It costs a fortune.
And it's not something you just carry around like a diameter tape. So. Okay.
Huh. And Arthur, you have a set of calipers. Could you show us how those work, please?
You go up to the tree, and to get an accurate diameter of it, you need to put it around two sides of the tree and average it out to 10 inches. I always cruise in 2-inch diameter class. And instead of using a diameter tape.
Okay. So basically, is that measured on inches now? Or?
Right.
Okay, measured on inches.
It works the same principle as a diameter tape.
The three of us have never talked before about this, and I would take a bet that if we sat down, that the three of us probably all utilize different or slightly different methods of cruising. It's just whatever we feel comfortable with. Right. You know, sometimes some people say, "Well, how can y'all get the results because you're using different methods?" But it's just basically what you feel comfortable with and the method that you have faith in. The results are amazingly similar. But the procedures used, Arthur will tally in two-inch diameter classes, and I never tally in 2-inch diameter classes. Just one small example. He may use a total height volume table, and I may use a merchantable height. And John may prism cruise, and I may line plot cruise. So there are many, many methods.
Well, so much of it seems to really depend on the development of that good eye, too. But, you know, can you give me some kind of percentage idea of what percentage you use your tools to what percentage you use your eye, and how long did it take you to get to develop that good eye, if it's good at all?
I guess we've explained it kind of as a science where we're measuring everything, but really, once a forester is comfortable with what he's doing with cruising, I may take one height measurement in the beginning of the morning, and if it's a fairly relatively uniform stand, I might not use my height measurement instrument again the rest of the day. Diameters, if we're dealing with larger trees and more varied diameters, you tend to use your diameter tape more. But if it's a plantation where everything's running from 5 to 10 inches, most foresters can call it usually within the inch by just looking at the tree. Cruising is as much an art as it is a science.
Okay.
And once you have a basic understanding of how the different trees will be merchandised or what product classes they will go into and what this set of branches, how it'll affect it, how this pitch canker here will affect it, you throw all that into it and change your measurements accordingly, and it really gets interesting. It's an art. I guess the one thing I probably do more of than what these fellows would do, being down in Central Florida, we get into a lot of swamp cruising, and that has a lot of different variables too. We, you know, when you're dealing with cypress, it has a fluted base, and if you're cruising on what we call the hill, if you're cruising pine, and then you go into the swamp and start cruising cypress, you got to get acclimated all over again because your eye wants to call it a certain diameter and it's not there. So different types of stands of timber. Once you get your eye adjusted, then you can pretty well ocularly estimate the different things. I mentioned Jim Dosher said a good cruiser stops every two chains in the mall just because he's so used to pacing. Jim also told me another rule of thumb as far as swamp cruising. He said there's only two depths of water. And one is you get your money wet, and that's when the water's deep enough that it goes over your wallet. And the other one is it floats your hat. He said anything other than that, shallower than getting your money wet, to a true forester, that's not water at all. That's nothing even to think about.
What kinds of things, if you're working in the water, and working in the woods by yourself, it would seem to me that you've got lots of hazardous obstacles.
Occupational hazards.
What kinds of occupational hazards are there in cruising?
Critters.
Critters? What kinds of critters?
I don't like to work. I don't like snakes. I'm one of the few foresters. A lot of them want to, you know, just carry on. I'm up front with everybody. I don't care for them. I mean, from a standpoint of you know, they I don't even like the word. I just refer to them as reptiles. Our students at the college, they don't even know snake leggings by that name because I call them RPs or reptile protection. So instead of snake leggings, they wear reptile protection. But
okay.
There are poisonous snakes. Is a possible potential mm-hmm. hazard in our industry. Wasp, yellow jackets, spiders, scorpions, heat prostration, cold. Maybe this is far-fetched, but we're finding now more and more, unfortunately, an occupational hazard for foresters and technicians. There are certain other illegal crops being grown in the forest, and our foresters usually work by themselves, and in some situations have found themselves in some very dangerous situations with law enforcement. People could tell a lot more about this than myself, but with booby traps and being caught in the on the land. So that has become a consideration also. Uh-huh. It used to be moonshine stills.
Right, now it's marijuana crops.
Well, so some of these other fellas can tell you.
Arthur, what about you? What kinds of stuff? What kinds of stuff and nonsense have you run into?
Well, I've run into snakes.
Tell us about that.
And marijuana plants, and normally when I run into a pot plant bunch, I just get out of there. I mean, I just go report it, and maybe 3 or 4 days later come back. And a lot of times it's, you shouldn't even report it because you actually...
Yeah. In a really kind of funny situation. Once you get all this data recorded and you've avoided your water moccasins, your cotton mouths, you don't have poison ivy, you didn't get poison oak or anything like that, how do you record all this information you get? Do you just carry it in your head and then type it in on a computer, or do you actually use some kinds of forms that you have to write it in?
John brought his.
Yeah, normally the forester will bring along some sort of tally book. And in this tally book, as he records the information on a plot, as he measures it or estimates it, he'll record that information down on a piece of paper. And then, depending upon your company or your firm, we do everything on computer nowadays, like most everybody else, and we just simply type the data into our computer, and then the computer does the hard work for us. It estimates the volume and value of the different products that we've been out cruising. It'll tell us we have so many thousand board feet of timber and so many cords of pulp wood and chipping saw and top wood, and it's really quite handy. It'll break it down into what we call a volume table by diameter classes.
Can you just open up the book and show people? I'm curious too.
This is a common type here, and you just have a piece where you can keep your extra forms on the side here, and you got a clipboard on this side, and you carry pencils, and you like to carry some extra pencils stuck way down in your pouch, because my boss has gone as far as having to prick his finger with put little blood dots on the paper, because when you're a half mile back in the swamp or in the woods, you hate to come out to the truck just to get a pencil and finish a few more plots. So you learn to do certain things like keep extra pencils, and you always have a pocket knife to in case you break your lead, and then you record your information right here, you know, and then take it back to the office and do the office work.
Foresters are moving into modern technology also. We're just getting set up at the college at Lake City to one of the newer tools to use in the measurements field currently is what we call PDTs, or portable data terminals, or portadatable collectors. And these are handheld terminals. Probably many of you have gone to your local Winn-Dixie or convenience store, and you've seen the people taking an inventory, going up and down the aisles, taking an inventory. And these machines, what they do is actually they help them order what to reorder. That tells how much is on the shelf and all. Well, foresters are starting to use more and more portable data collectors. It is new, and I would be remiss if I hinted that that was the most widely used method now, because as John said, the paper and pencil is still the most widely used, but we are moving into modern technology using the portable data collector to record the data at each plot, and then this can simply be coupled into a mainframe or a PC, and your results can be very quickly determined. It saves time. There are even some methods you can, like Procter & Gamble Salos has a method. They can, their foresters can be way out in the woods, can call a certain number, dial up the mainframe computer, and when it says send, they press the send button, and before they can get back, their cruise is calculated for them, before they can even get back to the mill.
But nonetheless, at least for now, the work of cruising still really relies on a good and well-honed eye. And it's all a combination of those kinds of equipment to bring together a good analysis of what's there and what can be used. I want to thank you very much for sharing your time with us this morning. And what we're going to do is thank you again and ask you to stay, because now what we're going to do, now that we've figured out how to find out how much wood we've got to use, now we got to talk about how we're going to get it down and get it out and bring it to some kind of a mill. Is it going to be timber? Is it going to be paper? Who knows? We got to talk. We'll find out now in the next workshop. In about 5 minutes, we'll talk about harvesting, or what's all commonly known as logging. Thanks a lot.
My,